You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A roster, that's going to be big this season.
You got to think, Brooklyn already went it all in one time with the win now with the KG and Paul Pierce experiment. Obviously, these guys are much younger and in their primes, but I mean, if you got a chance to get a James Harden, you got to do it.
You got to do it.
Steve Nash over there. You got D'Antoni over there now, too.
Yeah.
But the one thing that the Rockets have in their favor is they don't have to trade him.
Neither do they have to trade Russ either.
They don't have to trade Russ either. You see, and what we've been hearing, because we've been talking to, you know, some people, some sources, I guess we're those kind of guys. Now we get sources. It wasn't the Paul Silas situation.
Steve Silas.
You know, they support Steve Silas. What we were hearing was it was just the management and ownership not consulting with, especially James. James has been there. James put them on the map.
Right.
You know what I mean? So not consulting with your two stars on hiring the GM and the first GM leaving, it just kind of got messy because I it sounds like James and Russ felt like they're kind of left out of the mix.
I've played three, almost 4 years solid with San Antonio, and every move that was made from starting the lineup to trades, Tim Duncan was involved.
You have to.
You have to include your star players because they are the guys that you rely on the most. And we have to reiterate this. It's not because of Stephen Silas. We played with Stephen Silas.
Great
everybody
guy.
Loves Stephen Silas. Great and
guy.
Everybody's happy he's finally getting his opportunity that he should have been got. But James and Russ are not happy with just not being a part of the decision-making.
It's not moving right.
I guarantee you, LeBron is a part of everything that goes on.
Yeah, LeBron's got he's got four titles, doesn't he? Is it four? He's got four. Four. Yeah. James doesn't have any of those. Now, is this real, I guess. And by the way, Tim Duncan had titles too. This is real. You got to consult with your guys. I mean, but you have to. I mean, what if they? Okay, so they said, we want Ty Lue. Okay, but we want Stephen Silas. And we're the one that's going to be paying him. So how?
Well, that's where if you have a good, strong GM. See, so this is my thing. If you have a good, strong GM that people respect, you can let guys have a say or let guys in on the process, but you still are in control. And I assume Daryl was there, but at some point, basketball can be a little different because you know we know it's the biggest diva sport, right? Basketball is going to be the stars are. They believe, and rightfully so, they have just tremendous power over everything. At some point, the Rockets went so far all in on James Harden that James was really the boss of that team. Not even Daryl was. Daryl helped facilitate what James... Daryl made moves, don't get me wrong. Daryl built the core of the team and how it worked. But when James said... When James gave you the gladiator thumbs down, then Daryl was the guy that went out and knifed him. It was Daryl's job to finish him off. And so when a guy gets that much power, why would he not assume that it's going to keep going?
Well, because that guy's gone now. And well, and he, well, here's the deal is, and listen, we all say it. And I mean, these guys are living it. Is the window closed here? And if the window is closed, regardless of.
Yeah, window's closed.
If the window's closed here, regardless of who the coach is or whatever, he wants out. And, you know, I don't know if you can blame
it. Do you think window's closed? I definitely do.
I do. Yeah, I think the window's closed.
Window's slammed shut.
I mean, you can, yeah, I mean, Daryl's been, and Tillman have both been professing, no, we're championship caliber. No.
That was crazy for them to say that. Daryl should have never
said that. Well, you don't think Daryl believed it? Yes, Daryl believed it.
How? That would concern me if Daryl actually thought that was the case.
He can't be, no. Saying that, no, we think we're going to win a championship this year. No, I can see where he thinks. And he was living and dying. You saw Daryl at games. He's like so pissed and disappointed. And we're like, well, you're not that good. But he's like, no, we're that good. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. You're just not. James doesn't have that championship DNA. Quite frankly, if James goes, I think you're better. You know what? Time to hit reset. Instead of living in this James purgatory that we've been in forever, I'm all for it, and I wouldn't mind the Nets package. Get Jared Allen, get get Spencer Dinwiddie, get Caris LeVert, and get a boatload of picks. Did you see Milwaukee sending 3 first rounders to New Orleans for Drew Holiday? 3 first rounders.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot, and when you consider the kind of players
28th every year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we started looking at who was 28th every year over the last 3 years, who would that, you know, would that be?
29th? Yeah, whatever. Right. Who's that going to be? Well, I mean, but it seems like I'll tell you this, Drew Holiday's a good player. Isn't his brothers on the team too? They separating the brothers?
No, the brothers are on Indiana.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. The two brothers are in Indiana. He was in New Orleans. Yeah. Boy, that doesn't seem like something that's going to make. Did we consult on this one?
Well, that is the question. They had not only brought in Drew Holiday, they brought in Bogdanovich from Sacramento. That trade will go down, although it's a sign and trade, which means the NBA might ask some questions like, "How did you secure a sign and trade before, you know, the moratorium was up on free agencies?" So I'm sure they'll find a way to get around that. So they brought in 2 rotation pieces, sent out Eric Bledsoe, who's been pretty terrible in the postseason. George Hill's gone too. So
yeah, but did we talk to Zion about this?
Oh, you mean the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Whatever. Zion.
Is Zion going to try and work his way out of there now because they didn't consult with him on this deal?
Zion might want to, you know, just stay in shape and not be terrible in the bubble.
Well, and quite frankly, if you want to know the truth, well, I mean, Milwaukee really needs – Milwaukee – 3 first-round picks for Milwaukee? They ain't going to be very good.
No,
this is a deal that the Pelicans got worked.
Well, I don't know if it's how spaced out the deal is, but the assumption was that Giannis told them, hey, you make this trade, I'll sign a Supermax, and that was what's been floated around. But until he signs a Supermax, Drew Holiday's only on a 1-year deal. He has a player option, but he'll probably opt out after this year. And then Giannis isn't guaranteed to stay, so if you're taking bets, the Pelicans go, hey, if that all falls apart, who knows where those picks will be. But the assumption is Giannis will say, okay, I'm staying because you did all this stuff. But who knows?
Well, if Drew Holiday, if you want to know the truth, in Milwaukee with the freak, you might go, no, this is a good place to be.
Oh, well, I mean, Milwaukee is, they're trying to get to super team status. They figured it out. Brooklyn is trying to add another, we'll see. Brooklyn may add another James to try to get to super team status. I can tell you this. If James wants to go there, my one concern is that it now puts pressure on the Rockets. Like, will they even get proper value because there's no leverage? But in the end, that's kind of how the NBA works. There's only one or two teams that are really even players. And if the Nets want him, If KD wants this to happen, there's plenty of incentive for the Nets to do what they have to do. As long as the Rockets don't give in to a bad deal, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with a 35-win team. I'm not happy about it, but if it means you're moving in a different direction, then that's okay. I can't be a hypocrite and say they need to make changes and not be willing to deal with what comes from that. I know it's not going to be good, but sometimes you have to go through the bumpy times, like the Houston Astros did. Sometimes you got to go through those bumpy times, and then once you go through those bumpy times, you can come out on the other end if your evaluation is good. So we'll see if that's the case.
Yep.
See if that's the case, because I think James is going to get moved now.
I do too.
I think Russ may end up staying here.
That's a possibility too. First of all, what are you going to get for him?
I mean, if you could move them both and get a billion draft picks, I'm fine with that too.
Well, we just saw that you had to give up draft picks to get rid of Chris Paul. And I think the Rockets don't have picks to give up to get rid of Russ. But who's giving up picks to get Russ on their roster?
Nah, I wouldn't. You had to give it. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Let's get Biscuit in here. Hey, Biscuit, what's going on?
Hey, man, now we know. And I to all the people that was going to jump down Russ's throat and everything. And I was always curious, you know, because it's hard when you're not at practices on the planes and all the different things. Harden has been the issue all along, man. We ran Howard out of town. We ran Chris Paul, Kevin McHale. I mean, we can go on and on, man. This dude is not willing to work with others. There's no way that Harden could think that he's a better point guard than Russ. He should have been the one playing off the ball. Let Russ facilitate, and you be the scorer. That should have been simple. But he wasn't willing to help the team because it's all about stats. It's not about W's. And, I don't know how New Jersey thinks Harden, Kyrie, and Durant, how you think that's going to work. That's good luck. But to me, man, I wouldn't get rid of Russ, man. I would hold on. Russ, and Russ gives effort. Everybody act like Russ is a – the man scored 27 points a game last year off of knee surgery, playing out of position. Yeah. I'm holding on to Russ and making the moves I can.
I'm with you all that on most of what you said, but it isn't like – it is irrelevant. If James is gone and Russ is here – I mean, you're not a serious contender. You do have to play the games. You do want people to watch. You do want people to have some fun, stuff like that. But I don't know that it's ever really been in doubt for most people that it's always been James. It's always been James. And if you didn't know that, you know, your worry, the worry is, do people want to play with this organization? Are they cool with Tillman? Are they cool with Stone? Are they cool with not having a guy who's a number one? You know. Who knows? We got to break it right here. Jimbo Fisher is coming up here in about 4 minutes. Yep. We'll get back to some of the James Harden trade talk and Russ. Will he or won't he?
Well, Aggie's next. We'll find out what's going on with that. The Ole Miss game's already canceled. But right now, yeah, so that means you can't bet on it at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Listen, if you're looking for a great place to play and win and get paid, this is it. At mybookie.ag, promo code radio, the number of bets that you can make on this thing is unbelievable. I mean, literally unbelievable. I mean, everything that you could possibly want to bet on. And it's so easy to navigate. And it's so easy to make the bets. They've changed the website. They've done a lot of work on it. And it is super, super simple. So even if you're a novice, even if you don't know what the heck you're doing or whatever, here's the deal, though. How about doubling your initial deposit? So whatever you put down initially, they will double that. So you've got twice as much to play with. That's all happening at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. But the most important thing is when you play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Hey, guys. Lance Zierlein here. And wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know that music means time to bring in the head coach, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here on ESPN 97.5. It's Jimbo Fisher, your home for Aggie football and basketball, ESPN 97.5. What's up, coach?
How we doing, guys?
We're doing well. How are you doing? That's the question. How much does a coach hate that his team can't play 2 weeks in a row now?
Well, you hate it, but, you know, hey, that's the world we live in. And like I say, those in that will survive and those who won't. And you got to understand that, explain it to your kids, and get good work in the meantime and be ready.
So are you – it kind of stinks, but you know what? You're probably going to be able to get these games in. It's going to be in December, but oh well, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we get to play. That's great. That's the objective we want to do. And I would use this time to hopefully get better with the limited guys we have in practice and try to get work some of your young guys, which will build depth because, you know, might not know when you need a guy or two in the game or three guys in the game that, you know, with injuries or something that happened. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But, you know, try to make the best of everything and keep the other guys. Good thing the other guys are in quarantine who haven't tested positive. They're still in quarantine, but you can work them out in limited groups and really run them and keep their cardio and things like that going.
Yeah, so is this is the majority of it, the guys that are you're quarantining, are they contact traced? Is that the deal?
That's the whole thing. Like I say, we only have one positive case with a player. We have one off-the-field guy who was cleared up by then, and then we had the one before the game, and then that's cleared out now, and then we only have one positive player in the group, and then one off-the-field guy. And the rest of that was all contact tracing.
Wow. So
wipes out that much for that long?
That much. That is unbelievable.
The contact tracing is longer than if you get it.
Right.
That's true.
Right, it is true.
It's a 14-day quarantine, a 10-day, and a 10-day window, you know, and once you, if you get it, then you test negative so many times after you've gotten it, then you're back.
And I saw where the CDC even said they were dropping their recommendations for quarantine time to 10, but college football didn't change. They're still a 14. Coach,
I will say this. We had one guy early in the stage who was a non-guy who actually, I don't know if he'd make contact after, but he did test positive on the 13th or 14th day.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, it might be something. It might be unrelated.
We have one. That was early on, like back in the summer.
Yeah, and then you don't know what he does between those 14 days, too. That's the thing.
No, you don't. But he, you know, saying everything was clean, you assume it. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Like I say, we want to play. But also, I mean, listen, safety is the number one issue, and that's just the world we're in, and nothing's worth your health, in my opinion.
Yep. No, hey, Coach, it was so it was intimated. We had someone send a message to us in your press conference that you had that you mentioned Will Muschamp. Is there any chance that the coach could be coming over to be an analyst for you at some point this season?
Oh, we had nothing like when Will's he's you know, I touch base with Will and give him my thoughts, and he's a very good friend, a hell of a football coach. And like I say, that's thoughts for down the road. That hasn't been discussed.
He's
getting his bearings on his life and what goes on. So
it's tough, isn't it, Coach? I mean, you go from being – that's the business, though. You can be a hot coach, you can be a hot name, and all of a sudden things go sideways on you. I mean, that's just the way the business is.
And no doubt. I mean, that's why every day you got to have a chip on your shoulder, you got to have an edge on what you do, and you got to have a plan for what you're doing and try to do it the best you can and try to get people to do it and understand the urgency and the importance of doing it each and every day.
So I was involved in a conference call on Sunday for the Joe Moore Awards, and we were all going through our different regions and stuff like that we've watched. And three different I spoke up in favor of you guys, the SEC, the guys who handle the SEC, and I'm Big 12. The guys who spoke about the SEC did, and then Phil Steele also. I would say, I don't know if people really, when we talk about this, I don't know if they really realize this, but your guys, I would say, are one of the top five offensive line units right now in consideration for that award. And it's the way that you've been able to really impose your will from a running standpoint and rely on the running game has really been impressive with your ability to create that identity this year.
Well, I think it is. I think you look at our yards per carry, you look at our lack of negative runs, and then you look at our conversion rates on short yardage and goal line situations, red zone situations where the physicality is true, and then, of course, the lack of sacks, which is always, you know, all those things are combinations of not only your line, but the other things. But it's got to start there, getting hats on hats and not, you know, the communications, not having negative plays, not having – that goes so far, and scoring touchdowns and not field goals in the red. I mean, all that stuff really matters. And, you know, and I give our – I'm hoping, knock on wood, we can continue to play well and do well, but – They've done one heck of a job.
So what? How do you handle this weekend now with the guys, Coach, with practice and everything else? What's your schedule going to be like?
Well, I mean, we practiced yesterday because they just ran. So we got them back in pads yesterday, the guys that we had, for about, I'd say a 65% practice, maybe a 70, somewhere in that range today. The next two or three days, we'll really crank it up and get back to full practice, get them back and get, you know, like practice mode and go. And then we'll evaluate the end of Thursday and what we're going to do Friday, Saturday, if we do anything, or we just do it one day or give them a day off, or what we would normally do. But we got your body, not only does it get, everybody talks about the cardio, your body gets in condition for contact. And I think that's one of the issues of pro football and everybody does have. Your body's got to condition stuff. Just like a boxer. You ever hear a boxer, when he gets into a match, they have to sit there and build their stomach muscle. They take shots, getting hit. You got to learn, and your body gets conditioned to get hit. You got to get back in that routine and keep it going for where you're at. So we got to get some contact, be clean, not be up, not to get guys injured, but we got to keep our physicality and our toughness and keep the edge on the techniques and things we're doing. So we're trying to do that right now and stay as individually. A lot of maybe pre-camp drills that we would do, but then we still got to get our team things and our blitz pickups and all those types of things and our run game to stay physical on both sides of the ball.
So the guys that are quarantining too, are they in their rooms? How do you keep them in shape?
The guys that quarantine, they're in all of our Zoom meetings. They can have during individual meetings, team meetings, and they can come up in small groups. And our strength conditioning staff at distance and keep those guys distancing. They can all run and change if they had no positive tests. And that they can run and train to keep cardio. They just can't be in practices or contact or be close to people. We have to do it with spread out field guys. We do it in small groups during the day.
All right. Well, it's a weird time, isn't it, Coach?
Hey, you got to adapt. It is what it is.
It is. I was going to say, what'd you do, Lad? Did you watch any games?
A little bit. I watched a couple, not a lot. Spent some time with family and did some things like that.
Yeah.
On Saturday, out at the ranch and just kind of relaxed.
There wasn't much you could watch for future opponents since everybody in the SEC was off, right?
Yeah, it was like that. But sometimes it's good to get away. Trust me, during the week I make up enough film, so I kind of see everything.
Yeah. No, we believe that. Well, we'll let you go, Coach. We appreciate it, man. Tough, no game this weekend, but hopefully for sure next weekend. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Guys, great to be with you. Have a great week.
All right, Mr. Jimbo Fisher right here every week on ESPN. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. And by the way, I was talking to Yanni yesterday, as a matter of fact. The turkeys, people, you got to get your turkey from Damaris.
So
go to DEMERIS.
Good.
.com.
He has good turkeys.
No, the fried turkey. I mean, they're baking them too.
After I've had fried turkey, it's just like, why would I ever?
No.
Cajun turkeys are good. Why would I want a roasted turkey?
No.
I'd throw a roasted turkey off of a building if no one's below. I don't want to hurt anybody.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't care.
I just throw it and let it smash on the ground.
Turkeys can fly, remember?
Roasted turkey. Yeah.
They can't fly?
Don't go Les Nessman.
Les.
It's too old.
That is too old. So,
can I ask you a serious question? Do you have to have turkey for your Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I love it.
Oh, you really like turkey?
Uh-huh.
But you won't eat turkey?
I eat turkey all year. Yeah.
But you don't get a big-ass turkey.
But it's the same thing. It's a turkey. I eat turkey all year.
It tastes different.
I get turkey in my Greek salad at Damaris.
Yeah, but that's different to me.
It ain't the same.
Why don't you make a turkey?
Well, it's because it's a pain in the ass. It's a lot of work. And nobody it's a turkey takes 8 hours to make.
You just throw it in an oven. A brisket takes 12 hours. You don't have to do anything.
Well, I know. No, it's
brisket. You do a little, but like brisket 12 to 14,
you
whatever.
Baste it. You got to do all kinds of crap
for turkey.
Yeah, make sure it's wet.
You don't care about a turkey.
No. I mean,
I eat turkey all year.
We know because of the convenience of getting it. But turkey, the fact that the whole turkey comes out during holiday time just speaks to it ain't that great. Because you know what? People love steak. And I know steak is easier, but people don't make steak a thing that only happens once or twice a year.
Well, I don't go pumpkin kill the
pie
cow.
Too. Where's pumpkin
steak.
Pie? Where's pumpkin
you
pie?
You don't kill the turkey either.
Kill the turkey either, but
where's pumpkin
a pain
pie
in the ass
in May?
To cook. I'll let somebody else cook and I'll eat it.
Where's pumpkin pie in May? Where's pumpkin pie in July?
Pumpkin pie blows. Pecan pie with ice cream on it.
Yeah. Guess what? That's an annual dessert. Mm. Pumpkin is punk. Don't tell me about, you have pumpkins. You don't have pumpkins all year long. You got canned pumpkins. You can make pumpkin pie any time you want. Why does no one do it? No one cares really about that's a seasonal thing. Turkeys are seasonal, and it's not even that. I would do a brisket, or I'm going to get, I think for Thanksgiving, I got to go to my parents.
You see, you're not raising your kids right.
I'm going
chicken. They've had it. No, I am. I'm going to give them, we're going to go get from Regal's one of the pastramis, like the whole pastrami.
It's not. Pastrami is
not delicious,
Thanksgiving.
Though. It's delicious.
Listen. Dad carving the turkey at the dinner table with his turtleneck on and mom with her apron and making all this stuff and putting hot pads down and the biscuits and the dressing and, and the stuffing,
the big
and all.
TV and the wooden paneled TV.
The Lions on.
Yeah,
you everybody's
got the,
watching.
Yeah, the Lions.
Yeah, that's great.
And the Texans awesome. And the Lions are going to be playing. And they're going to remember the great turkey and Dad carving it.
It's
going to be a scene from. Like a 1960s movie.
Everything you're describing sounds like 1960s.
When I look at a 1960 movie, I see a lot of people look like me. The best part
there's
about
a lot of people.
Yeah. Like, Sidney Poitier was around then, probably.
Thank you. Guess who's coming to dinner?
It's great that you guys can name the one guy. That's great.
don't ask me to go 2 and 3D.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Harry Belafonte.
You know,
The best part of the Texans. The best part of the Texans playing on Thursday is I don't have to watch it because we'll come back on Monday and no one's going to care. That's the best part. Texans Lions on a Thursday. What Aaron watching that? What time does that game come on?
11 a.m. or something.
No, I'm not. Yeah, noon. An hour early. I'm not 11. Even going to be up. Thank God, I don't have to watch that game.
What do you mean you won't be up? You got to get the turkey ready.
I don't know. I'm not eating turkey.
What the hell?
What are you going to have?
You guys are un-American. Pastrami for Thanksgiving?
I'm going with chicken.
I'll just get whatever. We'll be at my mom's. She'll make turkey.
Thank you.
But that's when we come back here, we'll do one with Nicole's family.
You know what
Christmas.
I want to do?
We're just going to have something delicious
on a day off. Cook something that's a pain in the ass, and it's like fifth on my list of meats.
Oh, if I were by myself.
Great.
First of all,
turkey,
I don't want to
You don't
have
eat turkey all year?
No.
You don't eat turkey sandwiches?
No.
What are you talking about?
Well,
no.
I'll get lunch
for
turkey.
It's delicious.
Sandwiches?
It's good, and it's good for you.
No. I'll go chicken, beef, pork, seafood, turkey, way down there. It's like fifth on the list of meats.
I got to say, turkey is not way up the list, but from a lunch meat standpoint, I like turkey lunch meat is fine for a sandwich. Yeah, it's fine.
No, I don't
get
buy turkey lunch
on
meat.
your Damaris Greek salad.
Yeah, turkey at barbecue places where it's been smoked or whatever. Yeah. That's that's fine. I don't.
Those are
I'd rather
turkeys
have
that are cut
I'd
up.
Rather have brisket. I'd rather have the chopped beef on. Uh-huh. I'd rather have any number of things than turkey. Turkey's
way
not
down
way up the list.
Way down on the list.
Yeah.
Well, but this day is about turkey.
No, it isn't.
It's not, John. It's about pilgrims defeating the Indians.
It's about genocide.
Well.
It's about tricking them into believing you have, we come in peace. Let's all bring things to the table.
And tomorrow, we'll put smallpox blankets all through your community and see what happens.
Listen, for now, we're good.
Listen. You guys are un-American.
You guys make sure we can make it.
Un-American.
You people.
You don't celebrate with a turkey.
Yeah, you people make sure we make it through this winter, and then when the spring comes around, we'll pass along all our diseases so you die and we take your land.
Everything's fine.
And we'll
don't
take
worry
your
about
land.
It.
The Native Americans are like, COVID, schmovid.
And call
we
it,
got, man, we had white people.
And they called it manifest destiny.
Millions of people like, you guys are. Y'all don't even know.
COVID, that's nothing. Is that all the people that died? Look, we had white people.
We had to deal with Spanish flu. We had to deal with Spanish flu, white people.
Yeah.
Those tricky blankets they had. Trail of tears.
Pandemic.
Like, it's just been.
Pandemic, shmandemic. Yeah. Our epidemic was white people.
Yeah. Where was Fauci then? Trying to keep white people away from us.
Well, he wasn't alive. No. Whatever version of Fauci.
Whoever was Fauci then.
Have you ever been to a Native American casino?
Yeah.
I know you have. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I haven't.
It's not. There's a little bit of. It feels. I get the blues. I was at one in Oregon. And I couldn't have. There was not one winning card. It was like almost. I just want to say, listen, this was not my ancestors. They were in Germany.
Yeah, you guys
they
did
were
other
in
stuff.
France. Oh, yeah. They were. It wasn't.
They did
us.
Other stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't us.
Yeah. I've been to a Jewish
we were
casino.
Over here.
You know what I said?
We were over here you when never, that stuff was going down.
No.
These ain't my people.
Stop. Stop.
We were over here, Mussolini.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Relax. Like, hey, everything's fine. Okay. Cengreta, Luca. So. Your people running around with toothpicks in their mouth trying to act.
No,
like the
that's Adrian Brody.
Oh, that's right.
He's terrible.
But I was just in this casino and they like you don't even get drinks. You have to pay for every drink that comes to the table. If you there's a Pepsi machine and a Mountain Dew machine over in the corner, if you want to get a cup and bring it to your table, I'm like just everything about you couldn't win anything. And this is the worst. I got up from my spot. For one time to take a phone call just to say, hey, I can't talk right now. And they dealt around me in 3-card poker. Straight flush. to the person next to me. I would have had a straight flush.
No, it changed. It would have changed all the cards.
No. It was like this.
I know.
But my cards would have been straight flush. They got them. As they were dealing, I had to get
sitting,
up.
But
they were sitting right here next to me.
Right, but so
and the dealer got the dealer got his cards. It goes.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, I'm telling you, it's automatic. It's the automatic thing. It goes. You're three. You're three. And I got up, and I said, I can't right now. Deal me out.
Well, was it the person to your right?
The
or your
person
left?
To my right, the very next person. My cards went from me. They were going to slide it to me. They slid it to him. And it was
That's what I'm saying. They slid your way or this way?
No, they slid it to the right. They slid it to the right, and the person to the right.
No, they get their cards.
No. Listen, it goes this. It goes or whatever it was. The next person next to me, because Chris Solis goes. He looked at me, and I'm like, "Oh, a straight flush.
What does that pay?
It pays like 80 to 1.
Oh my God." That's the worst thing ever.
And a $25 bet out there.
All three at once. If it was one at a time, it wouldn't happen that way.
No, it's all three at once in that one. And wow. I'm just like, ah! I just wanted to, can I have 100?
I gave you a tip.
I would probably give you 100.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I was just like, I just told Chris, I said, this place is just a jinx.
So, like I said, Yanni called me. I almost picked the $50,000 winner last night for him for DraftKings. He said, I would have given you $10.
Native American casino.
Yeah. Yanni's a Native American casino. That's what he is.
It's just like, are we even allowed to win in here? It just has the blues. The lighting's not good. The music's like it's like yacht rock the whole time.
No. You know what is good? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps you find those people for your work. All right, you need qualified candidates.
Those people. The ZipRecruiter
people. ZipRecruiter. No, those people are unbelievable. Well, it's actually their computers that are unbelievable, if you want to know the truth. ZipRecruiter, their technology is second to none. It scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and actually invites them to apply for your job. So if you've got a job out there, you're like, wow, how do I sift through all of this? Well, you don't. You let ZipRecruiter do it. And ZipRecruiter's free right now. All you got to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter.com/John. You can add screening questions to your job listing. You can filter candidates and focus on the right ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Okay? So it ain't easy finding those jobs, but ZipRecruiter makes it really, really easy. You can, again, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell, you're catching it. Because of your stupid stance on turkey.
I don't really care what one of your sycophants has to say.
No, this is about, look at, as long as Dell has Kraft singles, he's okay.
Oh, that's Dustin. I hate that. Dustin is... That came from the Manny podcast where Kraft singles are the worst. They're not even cheese. That's why they don't call them cheese. They call them Kraft singles. I won't let them touch anything that I eat. They're trash.
Dell probably doesn't eat cake on a birthday either.
I like pie and ice cream more than cake. In fact, we talk about sandwiches. I don't put a Kraft single. Go put some smoked cheddar on there. That's what you do. Get that Kraft thing out of my face. Smoked cheddar, that's what you do.
Mm-mm. No, see, you're not American.
You're putting on plastic food on your some probably. Plastic cheese like replacement on your sandwich. Embarrassing.
You're probably Nigerian or something.
Well, I am like a quarter. Yes, thank you're right.
Good night.
You're right.
I guess I'm right Nigerian. Then.
Yeah,
I guess but I'm doesn't right mean again. But
I was born in Florida, which makes me an American.
Not really.
Yes, it does. You birther. You and Trump.
Not really. Not he really. Said.
Look, he would have fit in right with the former, the current, and now soon to be former president. He's a birther.
I want to see your birth certificate.
You're okay? Not. I don't have to show you that.
Yeah, presidents have to show it.
Your birth.
Presidents, you should show it. Oh, maybe they're not really from here. Oh, maybe you're not really from here because you don't want anybody to see your birth certificate. Okay.
Yeah, you should lean into that.
Yeah.
Because people like when you challenge people on that stuff.
That's right. Well, I don't care. I'm trying to get things right around.
But here. I don't have to answer to you.
So, what was your favorite DeAndre Carter moment?
so many. He had a 7-yard return, a 17-yard punt return one time.
He did? 17? Are you sure about that? I'm pretty sure.
I think so. On a punt return? Hold on. Let me
No, I'm not, I don't think that's true, but okay.
No, he did have a decent punt return one time.
Yeah. No, I remember one time he did. So
career long punt return, kick return, 9.
What's his career long? 9?
Oh, let me see. I need to find his career numbers. Punt returns. Long, 19.
19.
Yeah, this year.
He had a 19 this year?
Yeah, a 23.
Well, this has been such a memorable season.
He had a 23-yarder last year.
What?
Yeah.
I missed it.
In 18, he had a 30-yarder. I thought
I watched every game.
He had a 30-yarder in 18.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, he's gone. Beat it. They're cutting him. And didn't he fumble too?
No, this year. Yeah. In the playoffs. He had an 11-yard punt return in the playoffs last year.
That's nice.
I'd take him over Kiki QT.
Didn't he fumble, though?
I think. I don't know. I heard Matt Millen was telling me how great all the wide receivers are. Like, this is an amazing wide receiver crew.
Except when they drop touchdown passes.
I'll be honest with you. Matt Millen goes, I'll be honest with you. I really haven't even seen this team play. It's my first time. Like, you're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to believe you've watched a bunch of tape. He goes, I'm really impressed. This is a good wide receiving crew. Like, you know, this isn't the Randall Cobb from like 4 years ago, right?
Well, isn't that how he picked his picks, too? Yeah. I really never saw this guy on tape or anything.
Exactly.
But I decided to take him in the first round.
That's exactly what he did.
Right?
So I'm like,
isn't that how you go 0-16? Isn't that how you go 0-16?
Yeah, that's one of the ways for sure.
I just am scared, though, every time I see Will Fuller back there, if you want to know the truth. Because he could, at any second, he could snap off a hamstring. Any second. Or something.
Doesn't matter to me. Someone else's problem, then.
Well, you know, what do you mean? They're going to sign him to a long-term deal.
You think?
Well, they don't really have any money for it, but other than that, yes. They really don't have.
I let Will walk. There's your chance for a third or fourth round compensatory pick. But the real question is going to be, are you going to have enough free agents? Like, would you be able to you don't want to sign. There's certain guys who get cut, you know, who are cuts that you can sign because they don't count against your. That's not a free agent. Somebody who gets cut, you can pick them up. There's certain guys that you can pick up that will not count against your compensatory pick allotment. So some teams are very smart about how they do it.
Well, we got to watch whoever the Browns and the Jags cut, because that's who the Texans are more than likely locked in on.
Seems dumb.
Well, is it? Is it because there are a boatload of those guys that have passed
maybe
here.
Patriots once Scott Pioli gets here. Well, no, not Patriots. He's been with Falcons. I don't think he's with anybody now. He'd been with the Falcons.
Yeah, watch for Falcon cuts.
Yeah.
Falcon cuts. Get some of those Falcons. That's a really good team, too.
Well, they got good players. They just haven't been good.
They ain't a good team.
No, they're not a good team.
We say they have good players, like Julio, Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley. I guess Jake Matthews pretty good. Who, Grady Jarrett? Like, they have way more core players in the Texans. Deion Jones. They have way more core players in the Texans.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and
Neal.
Keanu Neal.
Yeah, way more core players. I would almost take them at like every position over the Texans from the positions I just mentioned.
Oh, I would take.
They have a DJ Reader.
If they would trade teams they with have you, a DeAndre, you would do that right now.
They have a couple DeAndre Hopkins. They have a better version of Reed at safety. They actually have their DJ Reader in the middle. I mean, he's a different version. He's an upfield guy and Grady Jarrett. Deion Jones is better than – yeah, absolutely.
No, you would – again, if they said, will you trade entire teams – okay,
and they beat,
and you would do that.
They beat the brakes off the Falcons. They beat the brakes off the Falcons last year.
Yeah, but that was with.
By the way, there's really a story that Bill O'Brien turned his entire team on like an NFL films guy and a Texans TV guy. They're just these guys who are doing filming, you know, like they're supposed to. NFL films are supposed to. is supposed to be, they're the ones who capture the video of the coach giving the speech and the game ball. You know, you see it all the time. Their guy's in there like he always is. And then Texans TV guy who's friends with everybody, you know, he's there to capture the stuff for the, and they go, I'm real sick of everyone doubting us. They hate us on the outside. They hate us. I'm real sick of this. You know what? This is for us. Do you want those guys back there? You see those guys right there? They're against us. What do we think about them? You want them in the locker room? No. Damn. F them. F those guys. Get them out. Get them. And the NFL films guy and the Texans' own film guy's like, and they're all yelling. He's getting the players to say, you, F you to these guys. Just doing, they're there to do their jobs. And he's inciting the players to tell them to go F themselves, get the F out. He's somehow convinced the players that these guys are their enemies. They're literally there just to tape.
Well,
just to tape the post-game stuff.
If you ain't us, you against us.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I have a Texas logo on my shirt.
But that's,
I don't care.
Yeah, I work for the organization.
One of those guys he was yelling at probably had Texans gear on while he was doing his job.
He works for the team.
Yeah, he works for the team. He had a Texans zip up. I think John Harris was in the room too. Like, there he is, Johnny Harris. Get Johnny couldn't be like Johnny has always got the cape on for the Texans. The Texans can't do anything wrong in Johnny's opinion. And I love Johnny, one of my best friends. But that guy is going to, he is going to wave your flag every single time he's on the radio. Mm-hmm. Every time he's on public, every time he's on TV. That's a guy you want to tell to get
the enemy.
He's the enemy. Vandermeer, get him. Like Vandermeer.
Well,
that's who.
Why would
anyone not want to work for that guy?
Moral of the story is Bill O'Brien is not a great guy. Okay. All right. Okay. Well,
do you know what the Texans media guy did to the Texans team?
Yeah.
You don't know Lance.
They hated him.
You're just telling the story. You don't know.
Is this my man, John Clay Wolf? Is he here with us? Hey, John Clay Wolf, what's going on?
I've been dodging your phone calls because I didn't want to be susceptible to your verbal abuse because the Cowboys are so bad.
Cowboys suck. You know that? That is the worst. And you know what? I would trade the Texans team for every team in the NFL except that one. That's how crappy you are, okay? That is just terrible. How's L.A.? I know you're out there a lot. What's going on?
It's been good. I've got a coach to keep me out of the show coach to keep me from offending the gays.
Is it like a
gay shopper? You know, like don't step here, don't do this. He's really good. It's been so far. I haven't had many complaints. I don't think our show's any good anymore, though, because I don't get to be me.
Yeah, I can. I honestly, is it difficult for you to actually bite your tongue and not say stuff that you want to say?
I mean, is it difficult to take a razor blade and cut off your testes? Yeah, I mean, it's not fun.
That's not fun. Cutting off your testes is no fun. No.
It's really not that big of a deal, to tell you the truth. It's that last little tag on a line or a joke that gets you in trouble. And so you can still get away with a lot of things, but you can't, like, do it your way. I think that I get hate mail from our Southern listeners saying that I've sold out and that I'm one of those now. And, don't forget who brought you here and been listening to you every 10 years, Saturday morning, you know, like going to church. And now they're boycotting me because I'm a sellout.
Yeah,
I didn't realize people were that sensitive or that passionate about their car talk radio.
All right. Well, hey, listen, if you want to listen to John Clay Wolf be, you know, a regular
before
radio
LA.
Guy now, you can hear
before
him Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5 from 9 till noon, I think you're on here. So that's all happening at GimmeTheVin.com. I feel bad for you now. GimmeTheVin.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 848 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Recapping what we talked about earlier in the show, a lot of it was James Harden, a lot of it was the Texans and what a pitiful situation that is. But a lot of it was James Harden. James Harden turning down a $103 million extension with the team would have made him, would he be the only $50 million player?
Yes, yeah. he'd be the only one.
The first one?
And money's not a thing right now. You can say it is, but James has so much money.
Yeah.
And it is a number that is prestigious, but if he doesn't want to play here with this team anymore, this owner, these teammates, this city, whatever it is, who cares? James doesn't have to take your 50
million. No.
He may never even get to this 50 million.
No, he'll get to the 50 million. It's only a couple of years away.
No, I mean, he may never even get to it from a spending standpoint.
No. Well, plus he's got a $200 million Adidas deal, or which is it? Is it Adidas? I don't even know.
Do you know, at some point, what do you do with all this money? You either spend it on stupid stuff, I could see where it turns people into a-holes, all this money. And I mean, anybody who makes, not just athletes, it could be business people, whoever. There gets to a point where, you know, you're buying houses with rooms that you couldn't possibly use. Right. It's got 14 rooms. How many do you need? Like 4 or 5 at the most. When people come over, 8. I've got this. I've got how many jets? How many do you need? I just have a fleet of them. I don't know. It's like they feel like they got to spend the money that they've made, or what else can you do? I mean, you could give it to charitable.
Dell, you going to give it to your kids?
Bill Gates gives a ton. Now, James has no kids right now. James and Dell, very similar. No kids. So
no wife, no kids. Is James living the good life, Dell? Is that the life you're
looking for? No, the good life is having somebody who loves you that you can trust, maybe having a family, moving into a house where...
Carving a turkey for the kids?
Yeah,
hiding in your bathroom,
having a floor that you're not very happy with.
Hiding in your bathroom, watching television shows.
Yeah.
So you have some peace and quiet.
Kids, you look at grade speed, see some zeros on there, and you've got to step in and...
Entertaining yourself by filming your kids in fights like it's bum fights and putting it on Twitter.
That was not like it was bum fights.
Basketball game?
What was the difference?
Do you know when I... You know how...
Well, they were in a driveway.
When did bum fights come out, Dell? See if you know.
I don't know.
Because I know.
What? Early 2000s? When I,
yeah, early 2000s. When there was still dial-up internet. I had dial-up internet, and I wanted to see bum fights. So I tried to download it through whatever it was, like LimeWire. I think it took a day and a half to download...
Bum fights? Yeah, no, you didn't have enough. No.
I mean,
but I don't think we're supposed to call them bum fights anymore.
Well, that's what it was called. That was the title back then.
They don't call it homeless
people
fights.
But there were other
fights.
Titles for other people, and we don't say those.
No, that's the title of the show. I'm not changing the title of the show.
Well, no. Homeless people fight.
But that's not the name of the show.
Don't they want to be?
I don't know. What do you know? What do they want to be called?
Little homeless people? I don't
know. No, we're not talking. No.
Little homeless people?
What are you talking
about? I'm not sure what they want.
The show was
Little
called,
Homeless Americans.
The video
I don't know what
was
they
called
are.
Bum Fights. I can't change the name of the
Little
show.
Little Homeless Americans.
What's I have no about? Idea
it's
what
definitely
homeless,
not the name of this.
I don't know. Is there a homeless people association? Can we call them?
No, it's what, just called
what
Portland.
What their new name is?
It's called Portland and Austin.
Because we can't call them bums anymore.
Who
it's
said?
Just, Portland and Austin. That's all you have to say in L.A. Literally.
Oh, really? Go by Minute Maid. And see.
That's you keep trying to throw slander on other cities. We got a problem here.
We doing okay here.
I know the one at Minute Maid, I'm just telling you, in Portland, it's not under an overpass. In Portland, it's just like, it's by your business.
I don't know.
Just laying down across the main business.
You're walking around Toyota Center at night. Feels like the Walking Dead, except.
Yeah.
You're not calling them zombies, are you, Del?
I'd be less scared if they were zombies.
If it's slow,
driving north of Minute Maid, oh my goodness, there's a big community.
And you're asking what we can call them. Apparently, yeah, synonyms.
Why don't you roll down your window and ask, hey, what? Well, hey, those people.
don't.
No, I'm just looking at synonyms.
Somebody that's near there now, maybe you could drive by.
And ask
them, hey, what do you guys want to be called?
Hey, you. Yeah. You can call them a drifter.
Ah.
A down and out.
A nomad.
Street gypsy.
A traveler.
A street gypsy. I'm pretty sure that's not what they want.
That's not.
What about hobo?
Hobo?
Not hobo.
No. Huh. How about windshield washer?
No, you don't have to be a bum to do that or a homeless person to do that. I mean, it helps. What about vagabond? Tramp.
Tramp?
Yeah.
Tramp.
A vagrant.
No. I think.
Shopping. Yes, these are all things that are actually.
Don't some women like that like to be called tramps?
I don't know. What women are you running into?
Not since tramps.
Derelict?
Lady and the Tramp?
Can we call him Tramp was a guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a. Yeah, the.
No,
lady
that's why
and
the lady
tramp.
Is a tramp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shopping bag lady.
They liked that back in the 60s.
Yeah, I guess.
Those people.
What about wino?
No, that's old. Bum and wino is from a different, where you had all your clothes tied up on a stick in one.
That's a hobo.
In one kerchief. Yeah,
that's
it's a hobo.
I like wander. Or, wanderer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wanderer is not.
If you really
want
to know.
Street gypsy's better.
Street gypsy.
Street gypsy.
Even gypsies don't like being called gypsies.
They like being called travelers.
Travelers. They're travelers.
Why do you call us a gypsy?
We're not gypsies.
That's a slur.
We're travelers.
They used to love being called gypsies.
No, they. I don't think they
Somebody
ever did.
Somebody accused Johnny Manziel and his family of being gypsies. Longhorn Scott did.
Yeah, that guy did.
He called them gypsies.
No, I
he
think.
He said, no, they were really
no,
gypsies.
No, I think that's. Maybe I was. Maybe it was Longhorn Scott that said that. But
no, but he swears that they were really,
really
gypsies.
Gypsies. Yeah.
Like if you go all the way back. And I'm like, I couldn't dispute it. I did. I said, look, you know how sometimes things sound like they
yeah,
could be
real,
true?
Right.
Like if it was the game that Anthony Anderson hosts where you get the liars and all that stuff and his mom
tell the truth.
Yeah, his mom's saying sassy stuff off to the side. And if somebody said and they didn't know who Johnny Manziel is, they'd say, so tell me about where your family comes from. Well, back in the 1800s, my family's and into the early 1900s, my families were a traveling band of gypsies. And they're like, okay, thank you, number one. Like it could
No.
I could, if somebody told me that, I wouldn't say, no way. I would say,
no, that's not the guy. I'm voting for number two.
I feel like,
no?
Yeah.
No.
We've talked about this. I think they like to be called, like, Romani. I don't think gypsy is what they're looking, I don't think they refer to themselves as gypsies.
Chuck might have the answer. I think he's by Minute Maid.
Travelers is what they call.
He's by Minute Maid in the ass.
Romani is what, that's the language they use.
No, it's the people, too. You can call them that.
Just going off Peaky Blinders.
Let's see what Chuck, he knows what the answer is. He's there. He might have asked him, those people. What up, Chuck?
Hey, what's going on? I'm not there right now, but I asked a homeless guy one time what he wanted to be called. He said Bill.
Yeah. Well, Bill. Yeah, he's a person.
He wants to be called by his name.
So
that makes
I
sense.
I just call them all Bill. You know? All,
oh, no, all that the, wasn't meant to be.
All the Bills?
Everybody. You can't just say everybody Bill.
You don't know? You don't know that? How do you know he's not speaking for everybody? Yeah. Okay, so that could well be.
Speaking of,
they want to be all Bills.
I've got to get, I got to get some blankets out there. Me and Monty. Monty was not happy with. I was watching Fargo season 4, and first of all, it's not great. But so there is. It's set in the I want to say like 40s, and Chris Rock's in it, and his son is with this Irish guy. Like you have to trade sons. When you have like a truce in your work, it's a show of, you know, if you want to get power, you have to trade sons. And so his son is with another family. Well, this family, it's bad Italian family. Jason Schwartzman is in charge of it. And so this Irish guy.
Jason Schwartzman doesn't sound like an Italian guy.
No, not Schwartzman doesn't, but his character is supposed to be Italian.
Oh.
So anyway, he's with this Irish guy. This kid is. Kid's black, obviously. And it's based in the 1940s or whatever it is. So she's in our room, and she's just hanging around, and I'm watching this. And they go into this hotel in it's called Liberal, Kansas, or something like that. And the lady is using the word colored. Now, she's black also, but she said, you know, the owners, those sisters, they don't like colored people in here. My daughter turns. She goes, and then they use the word Negro, because these are the terms. She goes, I really don't think that we should be watching this show. And you should not be watching this. I don't like these words. I don't like the way they're saying it. I don't like the phrase colored. I said, "Why
is Maddie watching it anyway?"
She was in my room getting something, okay. and the thing's on. And as soon as she comes in and hears this, she's immediately, boom, and then back at
was
me.
Was Bonanza not available for her at this time?
I've got my Joe Moore Awards. Nah, she's off that. Mimi's gone. So she's got the She's got the Joe Moore Award. I got the Joe Moore Award video conference call, or audio conference call, whatever. And I got it on speaker because I'm making their hamburgers. And Cole Kubelik blasts out this MF about some player being a tough MF. She's sitting there. She goes, "Is this not good?" She just tells me, "Not good." Take it off speaker.
Yeah. Hey, can we not? Okay. They
don't know that I'm around my daughter. Right. Everyone else is in their own little room, and I'm out there. And as soon as that pops, she immediately.
My Elizabethan daughter is here. All right. And she's not having any of that MF stuff, Cole. Hey,
she could have never. He raised ever a Puritan. Been a gypsy.
What's he going to do about it?
Yeah.
She could never have been a gypsy.
All right. Time to talk about the 2024 Ford Expeditions. 20,000 off. Ford F-150 four-door starting at $28,999. $10,000 off all 2020 F-150 XLT crew cabs. We're starting. That's what we're starting at $28,999 at $499 a month with nothing down. Are you kidding? The XLTs, beautiful truck too. Buddy of mine just bought one, as a matter of fact, and he got it at Chastang Ford. You know why? Because that's the place to go. And here's the deal. There, no dealer add-ons, paint seal, fabric seal, window etchings, nitrogen in the tires. Nope, not doing that to you. That throws another $2,000-$3,000 on. That's not what you're here for. What you're here for is to get the best vehicle you can possibly get with the stuff that you want in it, not all the stuff that they want to add on so that they can make money off of it. That's not how they do business at Chastang Ford. Get the truck or car that you want, the way you want it, at the price you want it. You can do it all online, Chastang at home, ChastangFord.com, ChastangFord.com, or get to the dealership. It's clean. It's wonderful. You're going to see. They sanitize. It's just a wonderful a car buying experience at Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.